Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 441, Jesus in You. Guest minister Bob Ewart delivered this message on Sunday, October 12th, 2025 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here this morning. Like Tanya said, I've been traveling with Pastor Harley for about 7 or 8 years to Cuba and different countries. And a couple of years ago, Jesus gave me an encounter and told me to start Proclaim Ministries. And then I started going on my own mission trips to Africa and different countries. And he keeps telling me to go to more places quicker and more often. And he has assured me that he is my provider. And we have learned. I remember when I was in my 20s, when the Berlin Wall came down, I went with some guys from Anderson and Noblesville to Russia 6 times and started 6 churches. And back then, you could go on a mission trip for $1,500. And it was hard to believe for that much money. It just seemed impossible. But somehow, God provided. And now when I go, I try to take 10,000 to 20,000 with me to bless the pastors over there and to build sustainable communities where they have a farm that will help give them money to travel and to buy some motorcycles. And we have a couple of orphanages I have one orphanage that I'm responsible for, but I have another orphanage that I'm partnering with some people in India to help them. We're gonna build a school there for $150,000. And I'm believing that I personally will be able to bring $50,000 into that $150,000 build. People say, how do you do that? I don't have a big church. I have a home meeting with about 20 or 30 people in it. But I trust the Lord. And as we all need finance. So I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to get to my message about healing and about Jesus in us. But just like you can pray for somebody to get saved, You can pray for somebody to get healed. You can pray for your finances. It takes the same kind of faith. You're believing for God to do what you can't do. And what I've learned is that as I have spent time in intimacy with Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, talking to Jesus, waiting on the Lord, and then hearing in my spirit what he wants me to do, it changes everything. When you get to that place with the Lord, you can see miracles break loose all the time and everywhere. And God can just change your life supernaturally. Everybody always wonders, how do you do that? And it's all about spending time with Jesus. God put it under my heart. We wrote a book called Encounters with God. And it's a book that teaches you how to have an encounter with God and how to listen to the Holy Spirit and how God speaks into your thoughts. And people always ask, well, how do I know if it's my thoughts or God's thoughts? But if you spend time in the Word and you spend time talking to Jesus and just listening to him every day, you learn when he's talking to you. You recognize his voice. John chapter 10 says that my sheep hear my voice. And one of the things we've learned is to say, if we're not sure, if something sounds a little bit off, because the devil's tricky, and he'll just try to twist a little bit. He'll give you some partial truth, and then he'll tell you some things that are just off. And you're kind of like, what's going on? It sounds like the Bible, but it's not quite the Bible. And just say, I apply the blood of Jesus over this thought. If it's from you, Jesus, make it stronger. And if it's not, make it go away. And poof, it's gone. It's like, thank God I figured that one out before I a couple of times in my life I did the wrong thing, and then a week later God said, why are you doing that? And I'm like, I thought you told me to. You're like, that wasn't me, Mom. So then it's really awkward. I had to personally repent, but then I had to call some people and say, I'm sorry, I can't be involved with that program. Not that it's not necessarily a bad program, but it's just not my calling. God has... Sometimes people settle for good things instead of the best thing that God wants them to do, that he created you to do. But I need to speak on Christ in us. This is such an important teaching, not only for healing, but for everything as a believer. We need to know our identity in Christ, and we need to know what authority we have in Christ. And when you begin to understand how Christ is in you, it changes your outlook on everything you do, absolutely everything you do. Most people feel lonely and insecure just across the board. And if you begin to realize how much Jesus is in you and that he's actually with you, that loneliness is going to go away and that insecurity is going to go away. And people are going to think like, who are you zealous for Jesus? Why are you like that? And I have so many pastors say, I can't do what I'm actually doing. Like, they just think, there's not going to be provision for it. It's not going to be possible. Bob, you're crazy. You're proud. I'm like, no. I hear the Lord and I obey the Lord. That's the difference between me and those guys. And I'm sorry it's pastors that rebuke me the most. It's really confusing to me. But I can't worry about them. I have to just focus on my relationship with Jesus. So I want to talk about what it means for Christ to be in us. When we receive salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Everybody agree with that? No question, right? But what we don't understand is that the Holy Spirit in us is the actual life and power of God that created the world, that raised Jesus from the dead. So it's an understanding of the life of God. We receive the life of God at salvation. So I have all my life read books of the heroes of the faith. So F.F. Bosworth, T.L. Osborne, Smith Wigglesworth, the elder Kenneth Hagin that's gone, and Oral Roberts all believed and they taught about Christ in you is the life of God, the power of God in your life that produces divine health. When God released the light into the universe, when he said, let there be light, he spoke and the heavens began to be created. And we think, yeah, we believe in creation. But do you know, scientifically, it's never stopped. The universe keeps expanding. More stars and planets, more things are out there. And they're light years away. And humans will never know all about them because it just keeps expanding. And apparently they set an orbit, some kind of rocket that's been going for dozens of years already. And it just keeps seeing more and more universes out there, more and more galaxies out there. That's the power of God's word. It's the life of God. When he spoke, he released it. So getting it down to us. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God said, now let us... You realize that Jesus was with God at creation? Yes. He said, let us create man in our own image. And let us grant him dominion, which means authority, over all the earth. God made man perfect so that he could live forever. Until Adam and Eve sinned, they would have lived forever. Do you understand that? Because the life, the power of God was in them. God created Adam to fellowship with him. He didn't want it to end. That was the original plan. So God created us in his image so that we could live like him, think like him, and act like him. Adam, before he sinned, he named all the animals. How did he do that? But he had the mind of Christ in a way more supernatural that we can understand. So we can be like God. We're designed to be like God, but we need to understand that we're still dependent on God. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril, and the man became a living person. At that point, he was going to live forever. So it wasn't until God breathed the breath of life into Adam that he began to function. In Genesis 2:15-17, it says, if you eat the fruit, you shall surely die. So God warned them, but they were tempted. They were tricked by the devil, and so they ate the fruit. When they did that, they lost the life of God and became susceptible to disease and sickness, and they began to die. The way I look at it is when you're born, you have so much energy and you get to about in your 20s and then your body starts getting old. Up to 20, you're just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I remember when I was 25 and I was 44 and I thought I could still run like I was 20. And I raced some 20-year-olds at this church I was pastoring. And I made it about halfway and I took a big step and I just fell down. And everybody went past me. And I realized I'm no longer 20 years old. But when this happened, God was not discouraged. God is eternal. He knew that this was going to happen. He knew that Adam and Eve would fall. He knew that. Sending Jesus was not plan B. Jesus knew this was going to have to happen. But he couldn't just do it. Well, God works through mankind. And God brings revelation to bring change. And so God began to speak through the prophets of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and prophesy about the coming of the Lord. You got to understand, as they prophesied it, it began to come into existence. And it's really important that we as believers stand on the word of the Lord. I always say you've got to read the word, you've got to actually believe the word, and you've got to begin to confess the word and then stand on the word and declare the word. That puts you back in the place where the first Adam was before the fall. When you get saved and receive the Holy Spirit, you regain what Adam lost. We do know that we're going to physically die, but we're going to go on into eternity. So your spirit actually doesn't die. So the place where Adam was with God, we attain that as salvation, and we have the Holy Spirit, the breath of life in us, and we will live for the rest of eternity as a spirit being with Jesus, with the Father. Jeremiah 33, he explained that God will forgive our iniquity and make us righteous. This righteousness of God that comes into us as salvation is the perfect union with God so that the Holy Spirit can indwell us once again. It wasn't until Jesus came that this could be possible. We can never replace God, but when God comes into us, he puts his DNA into us as his children. The Holy Spirit in us is our hidden treasure in us. The treasure in earthen vessels, that's the Holy Spirit in us. He's our treasure. Because the Holy Spirit is the life of God, which is the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-11, I'm summarizing those three verses, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. That the life of Jesus. We think of Jesus being honest and it's a spiritual thing and that's all we think about, but it's the power of God. John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So your body was made for the life of God. 2 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So God created us for this. Now we're going to compare some of the things of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Israelites, and particularly Moses, experienced some amazing things. It says in Exodus 34, 29 to 35, that the skin of Moses' face shone because he had been in the presence of the Lord. You got to understand, Moses had the Holy Spirit on him. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And then in Deuteronomy 34, 7, when Moses died, it says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. His natural vigor was not diminished. He was like a 20-year-old guy at 120. The Holy Spirit was on him. I said yesterday, I don't believe in old age. You can believe in it and you can die young if you want. But I'm trying to tell you is that if Moses could spend time in the presence of the Lord and his body could be supernatural, completely healthy at 120, we should live longer and stronger than Moses. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. But we didn't know that. So whatever age you are, I just found this out. I just really had a revelation this year at 66. When I was growing up, my uncles and aunts were all dying in their 70s. So I just assumed around 70, I'm going to die. When I met Sylvia, all her aunts and uncles lived into their 90s. And she kept telling me, Bob, you don't have to die in your 70s. You can live in the 90s. But I grew up with that. I saw it happening. All my uncles and aunts died in their 70s. And then I pastored this church, and everybody there lived into their 90s. And I began to see that was a regular thing. People live into their 90s. So I started to agree with it. And my last trip to Malawi a couple of months ago, I was just having my morning devotions, and God said, Bob, you're going to live to be 93. So start confessing that. I'm like, yes. So I came home and told Sylvia, I'm going to live as long as you. She's actually said 95, and we have this comment to each other regularly. When we're 95, we're going to lay down in bed, hold hands, and then wake up in heaven. That's our plan. So Jesus did not come for us just to go to heaven, but that we could have eternal life with him now. Jesus said things like, the kingdom of God is inside you. I believe that when you close your eyes and you talk to Jesus and you have an encounter with Jesus, you're actually in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So when you close your eyes and you're talking to Jesus, there's glory around around Jesus. We call that the anointing when it comes on us. When you close your eyes and talk to Jesus, that glory comes on you and it strengthens you. The power of God is in you. And so I've had trouble with my hip, and I just say the Jesus in me is healing me. And on Monday, for the first time in 2 years, I went for a 2 mile walk with Sylvia down in Nashville, Indiana. And she said, well, how often did you say it? Because I said it quietly. I said it every block I walked around Nashville. But I was able to do it without a problem. And there's a thing about the word life. The Greek word for life in the Bible is Zoe. And that's the supernatural life of God. And we have been given the supernatural life of God. But just because it's in your body, it doesn't help you unless you know it and unless you release it into all the cells of your body. So you need to come into agreement. You need to meditate on it and spend time just talking about it out loud. Say, thank you, God, that your Zoe life is in me. Thank you that your Zoe life is flowing through me. Wherever part of your body that hurts, just focus on that. And just come into agreement that the Zoe life of God, the supernatural life of God is in you, and you begin to cooperate with it. And then when you go to pray for another person, you release that power of God, that life of God to that other person. You can still command things that you know. Over time, we've learned things about rebuking different demons and so on. We can still do that. But part of that is releasing the life of God into those people because it's in us. The amount of healing that's in you and is going to flow to others is dependent on your relationship with Jesus. Because we're not Jesus. And we need to fellowship with him. You can't just ignore Jesus, don't read your Bible, never worship, and go pray for somebody and expect miracles to happen. It comes from our relationship with Jesus. And the more you talk to Jesus regularly, the more the power of God is going to flow throughout your body, and the more the power of God will be available to pray for others. John 5:26 says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So Jesus knew that he possessed this life of God. Jesus knew that he had the same quality of life as the Father. He knew he possessed it in his spirit. John 5:21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So Jesus knew that he could give the same life to people as the Father. Jesus knew that he could raise the dead just like the Father. And we need to begin to come into agreement that if that power is in us, we can do the same thing. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. If you're like me, you've probably wondered for years, what is this abundant life really? How do we really achieve that? How do we walk in it? And I've been learning the last few years that the more you fellowship with Jesus, the more you experience it. You experience times of real joy in worship. You experience times of real miracles happening as you're ministering to people. You experience the supernatural blessings. You hear people that I call them barely saved. They believe in Jesus, but they haven't learned to stand on the word, and they're always depressed, and they're always discouraged, and always negative. They haven't learned to speak the truth. The truth is the word of God. That reality overcomes the reality on the earth. And until you learn that, you're not an overcomer. You need to learn that. We should all be overcomers. We have everything that we need. Everything that God knew that we need, he put in Jesus. And everything that Jesus received from the Father, he gave to us. Everything. When Jesus stood on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Everything necessary for us to do the same things Jesus did, and even greater things, when he said, "It is finished," he gave himself to us. When he died, at that moment, he released his breath. And he died. He chose to die. He could have called on tens of thousands of angels. He could have got off of that cross. That was nails in his arms, but he was the Son of God. He could have got off. But that would have totally defeated his purpose. From the beginning of time, God knew that this was the plan. Jesus knew that this was the plan. It wasn't a surprise. Oh, I got to die on a cross. No, Jesus was not surprised at that. He was fully man and he was fully God. When he was in Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying as a man, he was like, ooh, he felt the weight of the burden of the oppression. The devil and all the demons were gathered around Gethsemane. There was a heaviness of demonic power coming against Jesus. They were about to celebrate because they thought, Jesus, the Son of God, is going to die, and then we're going to do what we want on this earth. And he lost. John 17:20-23. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Remember, I talked about the glory. In heaven, around Jesus, there is glory. If we would all of a sudden be transported into heaven, we would be falling down quickly because that glory would be intense and we would not be prepared for it. Jesus shared his glory in his death and his resurrection with us. And that is the Holy Spirit in us. That is the supernatural power, life of God that was given to us at that moment. Some people don't understand. I just read that you, Lord, or Father, are in me. So the Father is in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. And the Holy Spirit is with them. And when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And Jesus is in our life. That means the Father, who is in Jesus, is in us. And just to think about it, years ago when I was in Russia, I bought one of those Russian dolls. And you take the half of the body off, and there's another little doll inside the doll. And then you take the half of the top off, and there's another doll inside of the doll. And then you take it off, and there's like 7 to 9 dolls in one doll. And if you just look at it when it's closed, before you open anything, it looks like one big doll. But if you open it up, it's like a whole family, like 7 to 9 little dolls. So that, I don't know if that's a helpful image for you, but to think of Jesus is in me, the Holy Spirit is in me, the Father is in me. They're always with you. Now think about this. Can Jesus be in you and not his power? Is there sickness where Jesus is? Right? Jesus, only trouble he had, I don't know if he had the trouble, but when he was in Nazareth, they did not receive him as the Christ. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this his brothers and sisters? So they did not receive him as the Christ. And so only a few people were healed in Nazareth. But otherwise, throughout the Gospels, everywhere he went, it says, and they brought him many sick and deranged and demonic, and with the word and with his touch, they were all healed. Every time, they were all healed. Every time, they were all healed. Ephesians 5:30 says, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. So a godly, healthy, good marriage represents Christ and the church. And as Sylvia and I have, we've been married 46 years. We got married when we were 20. And sometimes when we're visiting with friends, we will answer a question at the same time with the exact same words. We can finish each other's sentence because we've spent so much time together. And we have so much fun doing things together. And the more you spend time with Jesus, you know his word. You know how Jesus would answer a question. That's your protection. Knowing Jesus is your shield of faith. If you know Jesus, you spend time in his word, you will not be deceived. You will know immediately what to do because it's the right thing to do. Jesus is the epitome of truth. And the truth sets us free. We don't have to worry. There's a saying, if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about what you said. You know, people who are liars, then they get caught in their lies. I've caught people in their lies. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. That's an amazing verse right there. If all I would have preached on is that verse right there, you would get this message. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Acts 17, 28. In him you live and move and have your being. We don't do anything significant outside of Jesus. When we pray for people, when we do missions, when we share the gospel, whatever we're doing, we do it through him, with him. He's doing it through us. One time I was praying and I went into the Spirit and I saw... I saw myself putting my hand on somebody for healing, and then in the Spirit, I saw Jesus' hand go through my hand, and it was Jesus touching that man, and they were healed. And I regularly think of that. When I lay hands on somebody, it's not just me laying hands on that person. Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Father is in me. So when I'm laying hands on that, I can say we are laying hands on that person. Me and Jesus are laying hands on that person. And Jesus is the healer, but he ordained the structure of the earth that we would work together. That's that perfect unity is like what I said about marriage. He gave us marriage that husbands and wife could flow the same way. We can have a powerful, dynamic marriage, or you can be like the world and have a horrible time. The problems in the world about marriage is competition and jealousy and insecurity and lack of trust. So you think about those are the negatives, but when you're in unity with your spouse, and I want you to think of it, when I say spouse, I want you to think the same way with Jesus. When you're in unity, that means you're listening to each other and you're in agreement. There is no greater power than unity. Jesus knew that. We call the Lord's Prayer Jesus' Prayer. That's not Jesus' Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. Jesus' prayer is John 17. And he spends a whole 30 verses or something talking about the unity, because he knew that was the most important. And what does the devil do? He causes division. That's why there's so many divorces. That's why there's so many lawsuits between business owners, between marriages, so many things. People just want to cause... people are almost afraid sometimes to say anything on Facebook because you get attacked for whatever you say. I do encourage you to have wisdom. I think it's still a good tool to share the gospel, and I will not quit doing that because I lead people to the Lord regularly. I've led homosexuals to the Lord. I've led Muslims to the Lord. I've led Hindus to the Lord online. I'm not going to quit. It's powerful for that. But don't be deceived and don't be led astray by the foolishness that's on there. And be careful of what videos you watch. There's all kinds of preachers out there, and I can confidently say half of them is garbage. They're not speaking the truth, and the spirits they're hearing are not the Holy Spirit. And be careful, because just learn the Word. Stand on the Word. Know the Word for yourself. Read the Word. If you've never read through the whole Bible, like in a couple of months, maybe some of you don't like reading. This book is not the same. Read this book. Pick it up and read. You can read a whole book of the Bible, like read John or Matthew or Genesis. You can read it in one or two nights. If you did that, in 3 months, you can read the whole Bible. When you do that, you get a revelation of things you didn't know before. And the Holy Spirit can help you. I just recently bought two Bibles. I bought a New King James Version, and I read it in 3 months. And I got the highlight markings in it to prove it. I just bought this one when I finished that one. This is, Tanya was using, quoting somebody was quoting the Passion Bible. So I bought one of, like, so many of my friends are reading it, I got to see it. And I like the enthusiasm and the passion in the Passion Bible. But I like my King James because that's what I grew up with and that's what I memorized. But when I write sermons, I usually double check with the Amplified Version, because sometimes you're trying to get a nuance and trying to understand what a word says or what the context, and the Amplified says more words, and sometimes it gives you understanding that you didn't have before. But for me, the Word of God is so important. And if you think about it, in the Gospel of John, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word. In John 6:63, he said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." When you begin to understand the power, the supernatural power in the Word of God, like Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's not just a random verse. Whether you're a full-time minister that's dependent on other people's donations, or you're a business person, or you're working in an office, it says God will provide all your needs. So Sylvia was an administrator, and you need supernatural revelation to solve some of your questions when you're working in an office. I don't care what you do. If you're a farmer, a carpenter, I've had many different side jobs, and everywhere you go, there's always a challenge you don't quite know because the expert's not there with you right now. And I have learned you can just get quiet. What I do is just quietly pray in tongues and I say, "Lord, what's the answer?" And boom, he drops a thought and I try it and it works. And I believe those are words of knowledge. Just a thought dropped from heaven, and it helps you. Christ is in you. If he's in you, he's available 24/7. Romans 8:11, "The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." I've read that. I haven't even meditated on it before, but until I got this revelation, I didn't fully stand on it. And I'm standing on it now. And I believe that the power of God is in us, and we need to understand this. Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And then this verse, John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So we know that the life of God was in Jesus. Jesus healed everyone that he wanted to heal. There, like I said, in Nazareth, there was a few who just refused to let him. I don't know about you, but I've prayed for people, and they will not receive it. One time I was coming out of a tractor supply store. I was sharing the gospel, and I saw this lady trying to load something in her trunk. She was older, and I helped her put it in, and she was really complaining about her back. And I prayed for her. She got healed. And her husband saw this young man talking to her, his wife, so he was, I don't know if he was jealous or just like, what's going on? Maybe he thought I was going to steal something. I don't know. But he got out of his car as quick as he couldn't. He couldn't go very quick. And he saw me pray for his wife, and she got healed. And I looked at him, and he was hunched over and everything. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, no, don't pray for me. He said, I'm on welfare. I need my check. He did not want to get healed. I know I prayed for somebody in Wisconsin. They got healed, and they told welfare they didn't need the check anymore. And they said, we don't believe that. You're keeping your check. $1,900 a month, and he didn't need it anymore. He was able to go get a job, but they would not quit giving it to him. Praise the Lord. So he was able to serve the Lord with that money. Then some of you may have known of John G. Lake. He was a minister about 100 years ago, and he was serving in Africa, and there was the bubonic plague. It was a horrible plague. Hundreds and thousands of people died. He went there, and he started praying for everybody, and everybody he prayed for, they were getting healed, and the doctors couldn't understand, and he said, well, you got some of that plague in a test tube, put it on my hand, and you'll watch it disappear. He called this the law of life. I don't encourage you to practice this at home. Do not go home and drink poison. Bob said, I got the life of me in me. I'm good. You better be 100% sure that you really believe it before you do something that foolish. I'm not calling him foolish because he believed it. They put the bubonic plague on him, and they stepped back because they were sure he was going to fall dead. And it just fizzed like you open a pop water, put some pop on here, and just watch it fizz. It fizzed, and it totally disappeared, and he just kept smiling. Come on. The law of the spirit of life. Sometimes when you're praying for healing, somebody that's really, really sick, and the doctor, I prayed for several people, the doctor said they got a week to live, and I prayed for them, and they were completely healed. When you have that kind of a situation, it's appropriate to say, I bind and cast out the spirit of death, and I pray the quickening of the spirit of life on this person, and I command this disease to go in Jesus' name. I curse the root of disease, and I command healing to this person, and I release the power of God into this person, and they're healed immediately. And the doctors, I mean, I'm in a hospital. The nurses are seeing me doing this, and they just can't believe it. And then the guy gets released in a couple of days because they want to do tests, see if it really is true. And that's okay. Do all the tests you want. But I encourage you to meditate on the word and meditate on all these verses that talk about the life of Jesus in you. You can just, we're so fortunate these days, we can just Google verses about Christ in us and you'll get 20, 30, 40 verses. Something really important to understand. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul never did what most Christians in America do. Most Christians in America are constantly praying for people for more faith. The Apostle Paul never prayed for faith for people. Why is that? I got the answer. I'm not asking you to give me the answer. I know the answer. He prayed for revelation of what was in us. Ephesians 1, 16 to 20. It's a prayer I've prayed many times. I pray that God would open the eyes of people's revelation, that they'd have a supernatural revelation of who Jesus is in their lives. And I didn't even know what I was praying, but I think I finally got the answer to my prayer because I know about the power of God in me like I never knew it before. And it's so cool to know this. And we've we've danced around some of these scriptures, we've quoted them, we've talked about them, but we didn't fully understand. Don't feel bad that you didn't know about the power of God in you, unless Harley's preached this before or somebody else has. But once you know it, you need to meditate on it. You need to reinforce it, and you need to loose it in your life. And the more you do that, the stronger you will be as a confident, victorious Christian. There should be nothing that can intimidate you or scare you. There should be nothing that you feel like you can't do, because Christ is in you. Jesus always, he said, could I not call on 10 times 10,000 angels and they would appear right now? He said, could I not? That means he could. So Jesus is in me, the Holy Spirit is in me, the Father is in me, and there's 10,000 times 10,000 angels with me. We are not alone. Jesus said repeatedly, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My peace I leave with you. He could leave his peace with us because he's with us. He's in us. I know as humans, we struggle with being kind. We struggle with being gentle. We struggle with being loving. We struggle with forgiveness. We struggle with faith. We struggle with praying for healing for people. It's a time to stop struggling. Jesus is in us. So whatever you struggle with, the Jesus in me forgives. The Jesus in me is going to be kind. The Jesus in me is going to believe. The Jesus in me has faith. There is nothing we cannot do because Jesus is with us all the time. If we spend time with him and are humble enough to do what he says, there is nothing we cannot do. It doesn't mean you can arrogantly do whatever you want to do because Jesus is in you, because that won't work. That's called manipulation. But if he's telling you to go somewhere on a mission trip, if he's telling you to build a new house or to build a new church, if he's telling you to buy a new car, if he's saying you need a van, why just drive my little Chevy? I'm fine. No, I'm telling you need a van because you're going to start picking people up and bringing them to church. Then he's going to provide. And if you, everybody in this room has bills to pay. And there's times you wonder, how am I going to juggle everything? Because I know we're all at different places in our finances. Can you believe that no matter how poor you are in the natural, that God can provide a way out? Yes. Sylvia and I led a meth addict to the Lord. They got a job, a beginner's job at Ball State, just making minimum wage. And she just barely could pay the rent. And then when winter came and the utility bills went up, she was like struggling. And she texted me, she's like, Bob, I'm not asking you for money, but I need 120 bad by Friday. And I'm like, Sylvia, do we give her the money or do we just stand in agreement that somebody will give her the money? And she says, well, let's just pray for somebody else to do it. We can't do everything for everybody. And we are willing, if God tells us to do it. And we just said, she said, I'm not asking you for money. It's like, okay, she said, I'm not asking you for money. So I'm off the hook. I don't have to give her the money. I'm not being selfish. I'm just trying to understand what she texted me, okay? So we came into agreement. We prayed in agreement that God would provide, like she asked. And on the day she needed the 120, her father, who she had a rocky relationship with, gave her the money. Because God is so amazing, he met her needs and he began to heal a relationship because she trusted in God. When we step out of our comfort zone and we choose to follow God, that's when miracles start to happen. What God wants more than anything else is that we humble ourselves and really build that relationship. And that means, like, I can trust Sylvia to do anything. I don't worry about if she's got meetings, if she's gonna get it done. She's my administrator, so I give her a lot of jobs, more jobs than she can handle. I really need another administrator to do everything that God tells me to do, and she just laughs, said, Bob, it's gonna be in God's timing because I can only do so much. But my point is, I can 100% trust her because I have such a strong relationship with her. That's what God wants you to have with him. Have such a strong relationship that you don't question that he's here. You don't question he's with you. No matter what happens, you get some kind of sickness, you know that God's going to bring you through it. You have all of a sudden a tree fall on your house and now your insurance is giving you a hard time. You know that you have the relationship with Jesus. You have the authority of God given to you to pray that that insurance company does what it's supposed to do and fix your roof. There has been two people in our fellowship that had serious damage from a storm. They've been fighting since the end of last year, and their houses are not getting built. And we've been storming heaven and commanding these houses to get built. And just in the last few weeks, they finally got signed off, and they finally started rebuilding both of those houses. I can't imagine why the insurance would want to pay for them to live somewhere else, because that's not cheap. So, but we all. Well, my point with those stories is, we have challenges, but if we have a relationship with Jesus and we understand who He is in us, and we understand the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, we understand we have authority. The best example of authority is the centurion that had a servant who was sick, and he went to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, would you heal my servant?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I will come with you." And he's like, "No, you don't have to come. I'm a man of authority, and I say, you go," and he goes. "And I say, you go do this," and he does it, because I have authority. He says, "Jesus, you have authority. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "I've never seen such great faith." You and me need to have this kind of faith. If you were here last night, you heard in the Old Testament where it calls people a man of God. It says, we know an honorable man who, when he prays for you, the will of God happens. I'm paraphrasing because I didn't quote it exactly. But it says that a man of God is a man of honor. And he trusts the Lord completely and miracles happen. That's a potential for all of us to be a man or woman of God that is honorable, that anybody can depend on, and that has a relationship with God so strong that when they pray, things happen. Jesus is in you, so there should be nothing stopping you. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Like I said, everything that God had, He put into Jesus. Everything Jesus knew that we needed to do the same things He did, and even greater, He gave to us. And it was accomplished when He died and rose again. And we received the Holy Spirit in us at salvation, and we received everything, every spiritual blessing. There should be no limit. And I know many people go to their pastor when they have prayer requests. But what if everybody in this congregation was as strong as the next person, that you have as much faith as Harley? Why not? That's how we impact our community. If all of us are walking around with a super confidence that Jesus is in me and I can lay hands on the sick, I can pray for somebody who's struggling financially. I can pray with somebody and they'll get deliverance. I can pray for somebody and encourage them. We don't have to say, "Pastor Harley, I need you to come over and meet with Sarah or James or Mary," whoever it is. You don't have to do that. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but I'm saying, what if we all had that confidence in Jesus? That we believe the word with no doubt. That we truly believe what the word says. I have every spiritual blessing at my disposal. Jesus in me is in me. When you go to talk to your boss, or you talk to somebody at work, or you meet somebody at Walmart or wherever, and you just talk about what Jesus is doing in your life, and they get saved. And they're like, "What church do you go to? I want to come." And they come. Before you know it, this church is full. You got three services, and you got that big church built, and then you can move over there and have one service. And then start going to two services and three services in the big church. I believe that we are at the verge of revival breaking out. We've already seen that with Charlie Kirk's death, and how people are saying They're no longer going to be silent. They're quit being intimidated by what the enemy and the left is trying to put on people, trying to shut us down. Begin to realize who we are in Christ and that we have a voice. Everybody say that. I have a voice.
I have a voice.
I can share about Jesus.
I can share about Jesus.
The world needs Jesus.
The world needs Jesus.
And we're not hating on anybody. I have done funerals for homosexual people and I've hugged them. And some people would say, ooh, why'd you do that? Because they were hurting. I don't hate anybody. Some people are doing things they shouldn't be doing, but you don't hate them. That's not how you get them saved. Our goal is to love them into the kingdom and to represent Jesus. And we can do that. Mark 16, 18 says, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Jesus never said, you can do some things, some places, sometimes. He was more confident than that. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Peter was so filled with God and had such an awareness of Christ in him that when he walked down the street, his shadows healed people. The Apostle Paul was so confident of Jesus in him, he prayed for Kleenexes. That's obviously not a Kleenex. I do have a glass cleaner. Paul prayed for Kleenexes and
handkerchiefs,
and he sent them out, and people were healed. And I know that people have done that. I encourage you, if you have the faith, to do that. I want to tell you some secret about ministry. Sometimes, like, let's say you work in an office, and somebody has been to church one or two times, but they're really not saved. They might not believe in Jesus, but they believe you believe in Jesus. And if you tell them, you know, put this handkerchief that you prayed over under your pillow and then go to sleep tonight, you're going to have a good night's sleep. They believe what you said because they know that you love Jesus. I've seen that. People don't have faith to receive, but they know I have faith for them to receive, and they get healed. That's why sometimes somebody wants a certain person to pray for them. They have faith in that person more than they have faith in God. That's okay. It's baby steps till they learn the truth, and the truth sets them free. Amen. So I'm gonna begin to pray for people. I hope you understand the power of Jesus in you. I want to just speak to those that are on Facebook and those in the room. You can receive as well. But I'm just gonna begin to pray. I'm gonna believe God for words and knowledge. And so if you're out there in Facebook land, if somebody is watching, if you're sick, I just want you to come into agreement with me. I want you to understand that the word of God is true, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't know Jesus in Facebook world, I just encourage you to bow your head and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If you get saved, I encourage you to comment on Facebook, and somebody will be glad to visit you. And if you need help, they can baptize you in your home, or you can come to church and get baptized. And when we pray for healing, I always tell people, you don't want anything to block you. So just take a minute, close your eyes, and ask God, is there anybody I need to forgive? Just ask God if there's anybody you need to forgive. And if there's a name drop in your mind, just tell the Lord, I forgive that person. I choose to forgive that person. Jesus taught on the importance of forgiveness. And he said we must forgive 70 times 7. And that it's not just 490 times. You don't just religiously check off, okay, finally I got to 490. I can quit being nice to people. No, that's not the point. That is not the point. We are saved because Jesus forgave us for our sins. He died on that cross, and when he died on that cross, and if we accept it, we receive salvation, and we are forgiven. It's the most joyous thing to be forgiven, and that's why we're invited as believers to forgive others. And if you're not yet a believer, if you want healing, it's important that you choose to forgive. And you can just say, I choose to forgive everyone who has hurt me, and I release them to you, Jesus. You can pray that at home. I'm going to close my eyes and pray, and God's going to drop images and thoughts of who to pray for. And Pastor Harley told me there is someone that specifically was going to be watching. So, sir, I'm praying for you right now. So, Father, I just pray. I thank you, Lord, that you are in us, and I release healing across this room and across Facebook. I curse the root of cancer, and I command healing to hips in Jesus' name. If somebody out there has cancer, I command healing to that cancer right now in Jesus' name. I command the cancer to dry up and disappear. If somebody has problems in their hips, I bind and cast out a spirit of trauma, and I command healing to your hips in Jesus' name. I release the life of God and the power of God into your hips. I see somebody with eye problems, I command healing to your eyes in Jesus' name. I release God's healing into your eyes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I sense somebody has a headache. I break any curses coming against you, any words spoken against you. I command healing. I command the headaches, the migraines to go now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I see somebody has a rotator cuff problem, a shoulder problem. You can't lift your arms straight up. But now in Jesus' name, you're being healed. Inflammation is going. Your muscles are being restored. Any damage to your joints is being healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see somebody's got swollen feet or problems in their feet, maybe with neuropathy. I see damaged toes. I command healing to your feet and your toes in Jesus' name. I break the curse of neuropathy off of you, and I command healing to your feet. I pray for those toes that are damaged to be healed in Jesus' name. I see somebody that's got a knee problem. I command healing to your knee, all parts of your knee, the meniscus, the muscles, tendons, ligaments, even the bones. Complete healing in your knee in Jesus' name. I see somebody's heart. I pray for healing for your heart. Whatever is the damage in your heart, I command it to be repaired, restored completely. I pray for all parts of your heart to work and function properly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I see somebody coughing in the spirit and having trouble with their lungs. I speak healing. I command healing to your lungs. I release healing into your lungs. Take a big breath and blow it out, and you'll be able to breathe clearly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I pray for somebody's throat. It's like your throat gets clogged, or has it feels like something's stuck in your throat, or your throat is weak. I command healing to your throat in Jesus' name. I release God's healing into your throat. I pray that you'd be able to speak clearly, breathe clearly, eat freely in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see somebody's back with inflammation and pain, twitches of pain in your back. I bind and cast out that spirit of trauma, and I command healing to your back. I speak healing to your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and the way your back is joined to your hips. I command complete healing. I pray for alignment in your back and your hips. I command that pain to go now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see somebody has indigestion problems in their stomach. I command healing to your stomach. Some of you have had trouble. You can't eat certain foods. I break that allergy curse off of you now in Jesus' name. I say you'll be able to eat whatever you want. That you are restored, you are healed in Jesus' name. All pain in your stomach, go now. So if that was you and you had terrible pains in your stomach and you've been released, just try some foods that you were afraid of before. Don't eat a whole bunch, but try it. And if this is you and you got healed, then you're safe to eat it. If you want to check with your doctor, then check with your doctor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see somebody's ears vibrating. If you have ear problems, put your hands on your ears. And I bind and cast out a spirit of deafness, and I command healing to your ears. If it's tinnitus, which is ringing in your ears, I break that curse off of you. I command the tinnitus to go in Jesus' name. I release healing into your ears now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you've been hard of hearing, I pray and I declare in Jesus' name that your ears are restored. You begin to hear properly without any difficulty. If you're wearing a hearing aid, you might even take it out and test it. There's somebody with a hearing aid that's going to be healed. You will not need that hearing aid in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I sense there's somebody that struggles with anxiety and you're fearful. You don't like driving in busy traffic. You don't like going on airplanes. You're fearful. And that's a spirit. I bind and cast out that spirit of fear. I bind and cast out that spirit of anxiety. I bind and cast out a spirit of panic attacks. I say, no more, devil, no more. I apply the blood of Jesus over you and declare you healed. I declare you healed from panic attacks, from anxiety, from fears. It stops now in Jesus' name. And I release peace. I release peace over you. Thank you, Lord. I believe there's somebody that's going to have a better night's sleep because of that. That anxiety and the panic attacks is going to stop and you're going to have a good night's sleep. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see in the spirit that somebody's had a broken relationship with their daughter. And I pray in Jesus' name, I break that wound between you and your daughter. I bind lying and twisting spirits from either of you believing lies about each other. And I speak peace between this mother and daughter in Jesus' name. I encourage you, if you're hearing my voice, to reach out to your daughter. Be gentle and loving and see if God's got it restored. Today is a day of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And there's somebody that works in some kind of an office situation where you're like a secretary or some kind of administrator in an office building, and you're going to get a raise when you go to work tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're our provider, Lord God. Lord, I release faith for that promotion and that raise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is difficult for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if somebody in the room or on the internet has trouble with their truck. I just see a truck that's stuttering, struggling. I just pray for divine healing for your truck. That sounds crazy. But I'm praying for divine healing for your truck. There's something that's been troubling it, and the Lord says your truck is being healed. If God can heal bodies, He can restore a truck. A malfunction in the truck is being healed. It's being restored in Jesus' name. Supernatural restoration of a truck. It's like a pickup truck. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now I'm hearing and I'm seeing in the spirit there's a mother that has a daughter about 9 years old, and the daughter's been struggling, had problems with being accepted at school, and I break the mean man spirit off of that child, and I speak peace and protection. I loose God's holy angel for that child, and I break any lies that the enemy is using to cause boys and girls to challenge that girl and to cause trouble for her. I break that spirit off of that girl and I say it will happen no more. I pray a hedge of protection around that girl. She'll be set free from the hassles at school in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So I just pray. And I just challenge you, if you're on Facebook, if you got help by these prayers, that you let somebody know, and we'd love to hear your testimonies. God bless you. Pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.